Well, singing about the second coming, Bible says that we're to love his appearing. Some fear it. Sadly, some fear it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 for our text this morning. There's about 10 verses I want to just kind of use to start off with this morning. 2 Timothy, I'm like the little boy. Somebody said, where's that verse at? He said, it's in the Bible. That's where 2 Timothy is. In fact, it follows 1 Timothy. I'm being mean to you a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, first 10 verses this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And here's the text I want to deal with this morning. For God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was his son in the ministry. And basically, Paul is getting ready to depart. Timothy knows that. Paul is writing about it. And Paul is admonishing that preacher boy that's about to take his place to not be fearful. Now, he had a lot to be fearful over. I mean, it was a great responsibility to follow the Apostle Paul, and in the setting and in the troubles and all of that. And yet Paul is saying for him, in the midst of all this, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's not from God. If you have that today, the devil loves to torment us with stuff. But we're supposed to have a sound mind, it says. That means a scriptural mind. That means one that's based on what God had to say about the subject. And so he's telling Timothy here not to have a spirit of fear. Now, fear is common to man, common to all of us. Whether you started off in childhood being afraid of the dark in your room, and today you're afraid of the room in the nursing home. We all have our fears. We could write a long list of things that we're fearful about, no doubt about it. But I talk about the kids being fearful in the dark. Anybody ever have the kid, Mama, please don't turn off the light? You remember though? Sure we do. Little boy cried out to his mama, said, I'm afraid to be in here in the dark. And she said, son, nobody in the dark in there but you and God. And she closed the door and went on. He said, God, I do know you're in here, but please don't move. You're going to scare me to death if you do. Now, somebody said, love is real to the puppy love. Well, fear is real to the kid. Fear is real to all of us. It is common to man. There's no doubt about that. And we could all tell some childhood stories and all of that business. But fear is also for our good. Did you know that? You know why I fear putting my finger on a hot stove? Because I did it one time. I never forgot it. Right? What else did we do that we won't do again if we nip it, right? So fear can work to our advantage, work to something good, no doubt about it. And all of that is good, but fear is coming in the Bible. Did you know that? It's coming in the Bible. What I want to talk to you about is keeping it in balance. Balancing our fears. It's coming in the Bible. The Bible tells us what to fear and what to fear not. Somebody said, I haven't counted it, but somebody said that there's 365 days in the year, and there's 365 times in the Bible that God said, fear not. I'm not sure, I hadn't counted them. But there's a lot of times. If you, there's the word fear appears a lot of times in a lot of different contexts in the Word of God. No doubt about it. In examples, for instance, sometimes you think it's contradictory. It's not. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us we're to spend our sojourn, our time here, in fear. But you get over to 1 John chapter 4. It tells us there's no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear. Who's right? Both of them are right. When you put them into balance, they're both right. And each one is to our advantage when we get it in its context and right. Both are right. And the Bible speaks to our fears. All men, all mankind has fear. George Patton. Anybody know who George Patton was? He was the great general, World War II. They used to call him Blood and Guts Patton. Anybody remember? He was greatly responsible for our, with some others, of course, that helped us win World War II. And he goes down in history. And people spoke of George Patton as being fearless. But George Patton has some quotes about that. He said, if we accept the general definition of bravery as being a quality that has no fear in it, he says, well, if that's the case, I've never seen a brave man. That was General Patton. He went on to say, all men are frightened. And he said this, the greater the intellect, the greater the fright. I have seen a few folks dumb enough not to be afraid of much. But I hopefully think we're smart enough to be afraid of some things. Amen. And George Patton said, the more the intellect, the more the frightened they are. But, he said, the brave man is the one that don't quit in spite of his fears, that goes on and gets the job done. And so the Bible is right when it tells us to fear. It's also right when it tells us to fear not. In the context of both, they're right. Now, there's all kind of wrong kinds of fear, no doubt about it. One of them, Proverbs 29, about verse 25, says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, a trap. You know, the Daily News is big fear business today. They will report the negative over the positive every time. They will report that to scare you. You'll watch and you'll pay attention and you'll probably buy something or something else. And you look around today and you see that fear moves men. I don't play the stock market. I've never been able to do that, but some do. Have you ever noticed how it goes up and down with whatever fear they happen to be talking about? Right? Well, it fell because of the virus. It fell because of the oil shortage. It fell because of this and because of that. Up and down because man's feelings go up and down. And truth of the matter is, the way we look at things has a whole lot to do with it. And when it comes to balancing our fears, we need to understand this scripture is saying, don't live in the spirit of fear. Just don't let that be the governing thing. Don't let it make you panic. Don't go daily around worrying that the sky is going to fall on you. The question is today, how many things have we seen threatened that never happened? How about Y2K? Anybody remember Y2K? Hey, while I can laugh about it now, I know some churches just about destroyed themselves over that. Because the preacher got hung up on it, got hooked on it, got to studying it, and he got to preaching on it all the time. And everything's got a computer chip. Everything's on the computer. The red light in town won't work. Nothing will work. Everything's going out. All your appliances at home have got a chip in them. Everything's going out. And Y2K was a date that we all began to kind of dread. And I know some good preachers and good churches that took some precautions that were really cost them in the long run. I know some churches where the congregations sold out everything. Families sold out everything and went and hid in the hills. I wonder if they've come out yet. Probably they have. But they were out of balance on their fear. They didn't have it in balance. And I told two or three of my preacher friends, they said, what are you saying about it? I said, I'm saying something about it, but I'm kind of joking about it, that God's still in charge of the Y2K. He's in charge of the computers and everything else. And I'm just telling my folks, trust the Lord. I know several of them told me, and I could give you some names you'd recognize. They went and bought and stocked up everything and ammunition. I'm not against owning an extra ammo clip or something, but an extra box of ammo. But they stocked it up big. And they stocked up the food, the dry food that would last. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just getting your address so I can come to your house. That's all I'm doing. Now, I made it kind of funny about it, but the truth of the matter is I'm glad I didn't have to go to their house. And I'm glad they didn't have to shoot their neighbors coming up the hill. You ever think those things through? You got to balance some truth with things. That's why the scripture here says, have a sound mind. Some right thinking about things. That's important. Yes, we all have our fears. My grandma used to fear bad weather so bad. We kids, I am not kidding you. My brother and I, daddy would be gone. Storm would come up in the little Georgia night when we were young, third grade. And grandma and mama would get us kids out of bed, even in summertime. No air conditioning, no fans. Get us out of bed and put winter coats on us. Because the storm was coming and grandma said it's going to blow the house away. And you got to be clothed. She'd had that happen to her when she was a kid, so she had a phobia all her life. When a storm came up, she was scared to death. Well, you know what? She'd been dead about 70 years. Well, let me see, about 60, 65. And a storm did come through right where she said it was coming. 65 years. Difference was the old house had been torn down. The storm didn't get it. Got some others, but didn't get that one. It was gone. Folks, sometimes the thing we fear the most never happens. Never happens. We got to get in balance on that stuff. And we live in a fearful day. I'm not denying that. I understand what the Bible says about things. But we can't get our fear out of balance. If we do, it can hurt us. Our reaction can hurt us greater than the action that we feared. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like a fellow said, you believe in ghosts? He said, yes. They said, well, you fear them? He said, yes. They said, well, a ghost can't hurt you. He said, no, but one can make me hurt myself. I understand what he's saying. Yeah, we're sort of that way sometimes if we're not careful. You know, the presidents sometimes say something smart, and Franklin D. Roosevelt said it in 1941, I guess it was, at Pearl Harbor when he was trying to calm the nation. You see, a president, a leader, even a preacher has to be wise about not panicking folks. And President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, all we have to fear is fear itself. Was he right? Yes. Yes, there's some things we ought to fear, but we couldn't get out of balance. Had we got out of balance, we'd all be speaking Chinese or German right now. Amen? We gotta be wise and realize there's something you need to trust God with. Amen? But, your reaction can get you. I guess it was Ronald Reagan that made a good statement. He said, the future does not belong to the fearful and faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. President was right. Yeah, let's don't mess up the future with the present fears. We can easily do that. The fear can get you itself. I think about the teenage girl and around with the teenagers, and teenagers will dare others to do things, you know. And they'll gossip. It's not just the old ladies or the old men that gossip. It's the teenagers, too, and especially since they got that gossip phone in their hands all the time. A lot of gossip. But the gossip was in the cemetery over there. There's a man buried, but he was a vampire. That's pure junk. But anyway, teenage gossip. Vampire buried in the graveyard. So they're riding around at night daring each other to go to the grave. And finally, they dared this young lady to the place that they finally coerced her into going to show off that she would do it. And they said, well, we want to know for sure that you've been there. So they gave her a wooden stake. We used to call them a stob, but anyway, a stake. And you go to that graveyard and you go to that cemetery and you drive it in the ground and we'll come back and pick you up. We'll see if you did it because we'll see if the stake is in the ground. She was scared to death. She was petrified. But she was trying to make it with the gang, trying to get the prestige. So she got out of the car, and in her great fear, she ran to that grave, and she put that stake in the ground, and she jumped up to run, and she died of a heart attack. When the teens went back and found her, she was laying dead. When she put the stake in the ground, it caught the corner of her dress. And when she jumped up to run, she thought the vampire had grabbed her. While it's funny, it's a horrible thing. What killed her? Her fear. Her fear. That's what got her. The truth is today, I don't know how many folks out there think you've got something so bad, so big, so awful. I want to encourage you today that I've got a God bigger than anything that you've got to scare you. You understand that? Is he your God? Give him some credit for having power over everything. And he does have that power. You can get that fear out of balance if you're not careful. Christians, we need to demonstrate to a scared world that we have faith in God. We need the attitude. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but you remember the three Hebrew boys that was thrown in the fire furnace in the book of Daniel? You remember they were threatened, you're either going to bow down to the king's music and the king's God, or you're going to be thrown in the fire furnace, remember? And you remember what they said to the king? Oh, king, we don't know whether God's going to deliver us or not. But be it known unto thee, O king, whether he does or not, we'll not bow down to your heathen music and your heathen gods. And of course, God went with them in the fire. They didn't know he was going to be in there. They didn't know the fourth man, Jesus, was going to show up in the fire, but he did. I don't know. I've had more than one time in my life to have to make a choice. I could not guarantee anybody God was going to see me through that. But I knew I had to go. And I'm thankful that I did. That the fear didn't keep me back from maybe some of the biggest blessings I ever had in my life. I was the most fearful of. Couldn't you give that testimony when you think back? Sure you could. Let's don't let our fear get out of balance. Now I think about our current times today. There's a lot to be concerned over today. I'm not minimizing that. We are in a warfare with the devil. We've been ever since the Garden of Eden. The attacks that's going on right now against Christianity across the world is increasing. And in America, they're increasing. Right here in our area, they increase. Some of you saw the paper again this week, and some of you have been fearful about it. And how that the Christian schools in Florida are coming under attack. And while they could not stop some good men in the legislature from allowing what's called the school vouchers, where somebody can give to a voucher and help a poor kid to get a scholarship, while they couldn't stop it through the legislature, now they're going around to the corporations and to the men that would give and trying to stop them under the threat of so-called discrimination. Boy, this is really something. When our biggest sin is being against sin. You know what I just said? This LGBTQ business, homosexual business, that's what they're saying we're discriminating against. I plead guilty, guilty, guilty to being against that stuff. Amen? I'm going to take the Bible position. And by the way, percentage of populations, there's only a few deceived kids that would go to school and claim that they're transgender. They got brainwashed by some adults that they never should have been exposed to start with. That kind of business, that kind of junk. And that's what you had on the front page of the Ledger this week. It's what we had on the Orlando, same article. They just keep throwing it out, throwing it out, throwing it out. And they do intimidate some people. Well, that school down there discriminates. Yes, we do.
We discriminate against evil all the time, and we're for good all the time, and we know the difference between the two because we've got God's book on it, and we know what he thinks about it. Amen, amen. Truth of the matter is, we are under attack. They're telling us we can't practice our Bible doctrine, that we can't raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can't tell them, thus saith the Lord, this is right and that is wrong. We can't have good Christian people standing before a classroom of kids unless we got some transgenders mixed in them and letting them all go to the same restroom. Folks, that's a day and age we've come to. And it is scary, and I am fearful of it, but I will stand up against it, and I'm not fearful to stand up against it. And I don't think we should be. Current times, yes, they're bad. No doubt about it. You know, we all got mad and should have years ago when we started seeing the American flag burned in the street, didn't we? But the Supreme Court finally heard a case in about 1990, and they declared that burning the American flag was an act of free speech, remember? We disagreed with that. We've seen it happen many times, though, since then. Now in Iowa, just like this week or last week, a man was given a sentence of 16 years for burning a flag, not the American flag, but the LGBT flag. I hope some good judge overturns it. We got a lot of bad judges. Thank God the president has put some new ones in that are better. We need a bunch more. But the truth of the matter is now, you could get 16 years for burning a flag that the queer bunch has made. Something is bad wrong. No, we're not fearful to stand against it. I know this is going out over the radio and all that. Had a preacher tell me not long ago, I don't know why they hadn't killed you yet. I do. God's not through with me yet. Now, when he gets through with me, he will. Let him do it. I'd rather go that way than some other ways I'd name, but I'm not fearful of it. As long as the Lord says, tell the truth, I'll tell the truth. Amen. And we look in the current times today, it is amazing. The fear mongers today, though, is not the preachers. Like me. You say, well, you fear monger, you say Jesus is coming and hell is real. Yes, I say both those things. But the real fear mongers are the ones that's telling us we've, like, what's her name, Miss Cortez, the Spanish girl that don't know top from bottom, that's being, she's Nancy Pelosi's boss. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? She said, we only got 12 years. I got news for her. God didn't set his calendar by her. But anyway, because we're going to run out of air, we're polluting the air. Climate change is coming. It's getting too hot. The glaciers are going to melt and they're going to just cover us. No, God's in charge of the glaciers and the air. And he put enough air and enough water here to last till Jesus gets back. And he's going to lift the curse from the earth. And then things are going to get better fast. We're surviving under a cursed world. You do know that, don't you? And yet God is providing in the midst of it, and he is going to continue to provide in the days coming. Earth is going to have the curse removed. Praise God. Amen. I'm just looking past my fears to what God is going to do when he finishes this thing. And he is going to finish it. No, we're not the fear mongers today. No, we're not. Yeah. Christians ought to believe in Bible truths and not be ashamed to state it. Tell it like it is. You know what the right kind of fear is, though? There's the wrong kind. There's the right kind. The right kind is what the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say, I'd like to be smart. Do you fear the Lord? You know something about him? You know something about his power? You know something about his word? You know something about his will? That makes you wiser than a lot of people if you do. And it's our choice. The Bible says in the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I have asked him for that many times, and I'm sure that you have also. But the answer is to trust God with it all. With it all, the bad and the good.
I read something many years ago that I've never got over. It was something that happened in the school for the blind. Young people, kids 10, 12, on up, they went to the school to learn the Braille. They're blind. And a new headmaster came over the school, and he really had a heart for the kids. And he imagined what they must feel and how that some of them might be bitter. And so the first day, he stood before the class of blind kids. And he said to them, he was getting them to think. He said to them, God's been very mean to you. He's let all these other kids out there see, but you can't see. Give other kids good eyes, but you don't have good eyes. You can't see. What do you say to that? He figured there was bitterness in there. You'd naturally think there might be. And he's wanting them to get it out. And so he said, what do you think God's done you wrong? And he said, a young girl stood up, maybe 12, 13 years old. And he said, what's your answer to that? She stood up and she quoted him some words. It's twice in the New Testament, once in Matthew 11, once in Luke 10, where Jesus was talking to the Father. And Jesus said to the Father, I'm paraphrasing now, I'm glad you hid this from the wise and revealed it to babes. And so she quoted part of that verse to the headmaster. And she said, the answer is, so it seemed good in thy sight, Father. So it seemed good in thy sight, Father. What was she saying? It's God's will. I accept it. I'm not bitter about it. Can we get a hold of that just a little bit? If it's all right with God, he's in charge. If he wants to take me with a disease, he can. If he wants to take me with a car wreck, he can. If he wants to take me with a heart attack, he can. If he wants to take me any means he wants to, that seems good to him, it's all right with me. Can you get what that little girl got? Can you get to that place of trusting God, say, if it seemed good to God, it's all right with me? Most of us aren't there, I'll be honest with you. But it's a place we ought to be aiming for. A place we ought to be trying to get. Oh, yeah. There's a little boy down in South Florida years ago. I never got over, heard him on TV. Saw him as a reporter, interviewed him on TV. Little black-headed boy. Good-looking little fella, probably 11, maybe 12. And he had a deadly disease. He was dying with it. Somehow it got in the news. I don't remember the circumstances, but I remember the reporter. And reporter probably meant well, but reporters can sometimes be pretty cruel. And a reporter stuck a microphone up to the little boy, and he'd been in the news a time or two. And the reporter said this to the little boy. Basically, I'm paraphrasing again. Basically, the reporter said, are you mad at God for you being in this condition? Others don't have this, and how you feel about it? And I'll never forget the little boy's answer. His name was Benji, and here's what he said. He said, no. No. Somebody had to be Benji. Boy, that was deep. That was powerful. That reporter didn't expect such an answer. The little boy said, if it's God's will, it's okay with me. That's what he was saying. Somebody had to be Benji. Folks, let's balance our fears.
fear the Lord, rightfully so, in awe of the Lord, his power and his greatness. I don't offend him. I don't sin against him. Yes, that's the right kind of fear. I don't fear. Jesus warned about fearing man. He said, fear not what man can do. Fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's what Jesus said. And he wasn't talking about the devil. God has that power. Only God. The answer is trust the Lord with whatever it is. Job said, and Job thought maybe God was against him, remember? He couldn't understand. But here's what he said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What do you need to trust him with today? Doctor's report? Family problem? Financial backset? I don't know. We all got something. What is it that's too big to trust God with? What is it that you can't turn over to the Lord? That's the very thing that he wants you to turn to him. Job said, yet, I can't understand it, but yet I trust him anyway. David said in Psalms 34, he delivered me from all my troubles. All is a big word in the Bible. All my troubles. What are they today? I'm going to turn all my troubles over to him. Old preacher, John R. Rice, I guess it was, but I don't know if he's the first one who said it. But there were people were telling him negative things about his health, what was happening to his body. And that death probably wasn't that far off. He responded this way. He said, you can't scare me with heaven. Oh, you can't scare me with heaven. The scripture says, absent from the body, present with the Lord for the believer. Right. Can't scare me with heaven. As a preacher, I've been to a lot of deathbeds, a lot of church members that sit right where you're sitting today, and I've been here a long time and doing this for a long time, and I've said this so many times, there is a big difference between God's people and the world's people when death comes. Big difference. I've seen it so many times. Most horrible thing you ever see is people fearful of death, fearful of what they're slipping out into. That's an awful scene at a deathbed. One of the best things you'll ever see is when they go out praising God. And in many times, more than one time, I have gotten a little report back as they were kind of in the intermediate zone, moving from here to there, some wonderful things. Hear the music, see the angels. I've been there when they did that. Been there. Wonderful thing. There was an older lady here for years, and our longtime members will remember her name. Sister Rosenbach. She had a diabetic condition. Insulin could get messed up, and she had some awful sickness with it. But she never missed Sunday. She always went to the Sunday school department. She drug herself in there, and she played the piano for the kids. She was in the church service. She was in the church service on Wednesday night and Sunday night. She just came. She was faithful. She'd gone back a long way. She got saved as a kid. She heard great old-time preachers. She heard Billy Sunday preach. Paul Radar and some of the others in those days. She was kind to me. I was a young preacher. Just doing the best I could. And she'd say to me, she'd shake hands with him at the door. She'd say, preacher, I've heard all the greats, and oh, you're good. You're as good as any. And God probably forgave her for that line, but she built me up, took some of my fears away as a young preacher. The day come that she was on her deathbed. She was on her deathbed for several days. I appeared in the hospital, was in town. I'd go by to see her every day. She finally got to where she could not open her eyes. She was in that diabetic coma. And I'd get close to the bed to her, and I'd say, Sister Rosenbach, how you doing today? How you doing? This is a preacher. How you doing today? I come to pray for you. And here's what she would say every day. Preacher, I'm doing great. And I'd pray for her and I'd come back the next day. And I remember the day I walked in and, oh, she was just about gone. And I got down real close. And I said, Sister Rodenbach, this is a preacher. How you doing today? And she said, Preacher, just great. And she went out. I thought, boy, I'd like to go that way. Not mad at God. Trust in Him. Just great. Not going out in fear, going out in faith. Let me ask you today, that time will come for you and I. Can you face it without fear? Can you face tomorrow without fear? Can you face the next doctor's appointment without fear? Can you face the next problem without fear? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't kid yourself. You got a right to be afraid, much afraid. But if you know Him, you can turn everything, and no matter how big and how bad it is, you can turn it over to Him. You can turn it over to Him. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Let's make a vow in the cedar at the altar. Lord, it's a problem I got to turn over to You. Lord, it's the fear of it's tearing me apart. Lord, I give it to You today. I want You to take it. I'm going to trust You with it all the way. Would you do that? If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the one that loved you and died for you, never received Him, don't kid yourself. You need to receive Him. That's the place. That's the beginning of your faith that'll grow to the place you can turn it all over to God. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I come to You in prayer. Lord, I do know it's a fearful day that men live, and it's going to get worse according to the Word of God. But, Father, we believe You're coming for us before it gets too bad. Father, You've said, Jesus said, that men's heart would fail them for the things that's coming on the earth, the fear. But, Father, great is that soul that can trust You because they know it's all right when their time comes. And their time comes to face You, they can do it without fear. I pray for that one in the building today. No, they know. If they died today, they'd go to hell. They wouldn't go to heaven. They got a right to be afraid, Lord. I pray they'd come and give You that fear and trust Christ and walk away in faith and knowing no matter what the day holds or the year holds, it's going to be all right because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I pray You'd bless the invitation, Father. I pray if it could be Thy will that not one would leave the building lost today. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Brother Bert's going to lead a song of invitation. And we invite you on the authority of God's Word to step out and come and receive Christ. He'll receive you if you'll receive Him. Will you come? I pray you will as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood.
How about you this morning? How about you? Will you come as we sing?
And that Thou bidst me come to.
He said, Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He won't turn you down. Are you turning Him down?
I come.
Will you come?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
Maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to leave this with You. I can't handle it. It's bigger than me. I want to give it to You. I want You to know I trust You with it. Will You do it?
I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
It was invitation's still open. You can still come.
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing.
Could be the Lord wants you to move a church membership, or maybe you've been saved and never baptized. You ought to come do that.
In thee to find, oh Lamb.
There's some men, women, boys, and girls never been saved because they're afraid, their fear keeps them from stepping out in front of people and being unashamed of Christ. Is that you? Is that fear doing that to you?
Wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise.
How about you this morning? How about you?
I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation is still open. The music will keep playing for a while, and you've got all the time you need to come, if you will. My whole ministry, I've always, from the beginning, promised God I would tell the truth as He revealed it to me. Not be fearful to do so. There's a verse in the Bible, end of Revelation 21:8. That literally, if you want to go home and read it, literally tells you who's in hell. Tells you the roll call. Could call it the roll call in hell. In categories, it tells you who's going to be there. And there is a strange word you would not expect. You'd expect to hear words like murderers or adulterers and so on. You'd expect that. But there's another word. Strange word to be listed right there. Here's what the word is. The word is the fearful. The fearful? How bad could the fearful be? Why are they in hell? Yeah, you read it. The fearful. May I ask you, are you fearful to choose God over the devil? Are you fearful to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you fearful? Say, Lord, I didn't kill nobody. I didn't rob a bank, this, that, or the other. But the Lord said, but you were ashamed of me down there. You were fearful to confess me before men. You were fearful. Oh, you'll have a lot more sins than that, no doubt about it. But it's listed among the bad sins that we would call bad sins. And it's called the fearful. Adulterers and whoremongers and all that we could name, but the fearful's right in that list. Right in that list. Have you been fearful? After knowing the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and shed His blood for you, have you been fearful to take His side and choose Him, the one that loved you and paid such a price? Have you been fearful? I hope not. You to raise your hand, but if I ask you the question, have you done what God asked you to do this morning? Could you say yes? Could you say yes?